Hey there, ever thought about what makes your heart beat a little faster?
Oh, you mean like when you discover a new track that just speaks to you?
Yeah, or finding a movie that you can't stop thinking about?
Well, get ready to feel that excitement all over again because Amazon Prime is here to take your entertainment and shopping experience to the next level.
Absolutely. Prime isn't just about getting your packages quicker. It's about diving into a world of endless possibilities. From the latest releases to exclusive content you won't find anywhere else.
And don't even get me started on the music. Prime offers concert specials that will transport you right to the front room. It's like being at the hottest gigs without leaving your living room.
I use Prime to tap in with some of my favorite artists' live shows from any and every genre of music.
Trust me, Prime is a game changer. It's like having a personalized superstore and entertainment hub right at your fingertips.
So why wait? Head over to Amazon.com/Prime and start experiencing entertainment like never before.
Tonight on Revolt Black News Weekly.
We will not allow small people to create fear in our communities.
Keeping their names alive as social media declares we will not forget the Buffalo 10, how the community is attempting to heal.
Our government has failed to care for the people in this community.
Then, a police department under fire.
Can you explain to us how he was barricaded? We've been given a lot of bad information.
Why the response time to the elementary school mass shooting now has a community in Uvalde, Texas, divided.
We know there's been confirmations that there were officers that went into the school that were able to rescue their own kids.
And from South Africa to the Caribbean, we are tracking the headlines as we go black all over the world. Plus, why Snoop is canceling his international concert dates.
We're in sync.
And we're at home with Niecy Nash dishing about love and marriage. Then why the ladies of Four Colored Girls have 7 big reasons to celebrate Broadway. All that and more as the Black News Revolution starts right now.
It was the first funeral almost a week after the shooting. A police escort for the family of Amory Jo Garza.
A part of Uvalde and her is just gone from my heart. It just feels horrible.
Those are the heartbreaking images during the first of many funerals for the 19 children and 2 teachers killed in that mass shooting at Robb Elementary School in Uvalde, Texas. Welcome to the show. I'm Naima Abdullahi. We begin with that tragedy in Texas and questions from the community about the timeline on that horrific day. Special correspondent Rochelle Ritchie, you're joining us now and you've been tracking this tragedy for us.
That's right, Naima. While those victims in Texas are still being remembered, the gun reform conversation is once again moving to the forefront. This as the police response time has put the Uvalde Police Department in the hot seat. That is tonight's top story.
2 days after the mass shooting at Robb Elementary, the story of what happened when the gunman arrived on the campus has fundamentally changed.
A community asking difficult questions of its police force following the May 24th slaughter of 19 students and 2 teachers by an 18-year-old armed with an AR-15 and hundreds of rounds of ammunition that he obtained legally.
Can you explain to us how he was barricaded?
I hear you.
Because we've been given a lot of bad information, so why don't you clear all of this up?
Under the command of Uvalde School District Police Chief Pedro Arredondo, responding officers were ordered to wait for backup in a hallway outside the closed doors. Jesse Rodriguez lost his daughter in the shooting.
They should have moved in. You know what? I don't think they had a right to sit there on their ass waiting.
Finally, Federal Border Patrol agents arrived, breached the door, and killed the suspect nearly 1 hour after the shooting started.
The active shooter protocols dictate that you go in. So many things went wrong here.
In the aftermath of this unspeakable tragedy, the Department of Justice has launched an investigation into the police response.
It's hard not to see how someone doesn't get fired for this, for these very, very bad calls.
When you think about the treatment that this shooter had compared to the treatment of unarmed Black citizens that have been shot and killed by the police, the first thing that came to my mind personally was oftentimes the excuse for shooting unarmed Black citizens is the police officer was afraid of their life.
Justice!
Tonight, demonstrations in North Carolina leaving a city on edge.
37-year-old single father Jason Walker was shot on January 8th of this year in Fayetteville, North Carolina, by an off-duty sheriff's deputy while walking home.
He jumped up, that fella jumped up on the hood, and he jumped out his car and shot him.
Among the long list of other shootings of unarmed Black people, 12-year-old Tamir Rice in Cleveland, Ohio, 18-year-old Michael Brown in Ferguson, Missouri, 26-year-old Breonna Taylor in Louisville, Kentucky, and 20-year-old Dante Wright in Brooklyn Center, Minnesota.
It's obvious that we also need to really reevaluate policing when it comes to how they handle and respond to mass shootings and mass shooters, as well as to how they respond to unarmed Black and brown people.
Here to join me for a deeper look into the police response in the Uvalde, Texas school shooting are Conscious Lee and former Tucson police officer Brandon Tatum, host of the Officer Tatum Show and podcast. Thank you both for being here. Now, we know that the Department of Justice right now has launched an investigation into this shooting, and many people are saying police disregarded the urgency to help save these children. I want to start with Brandon. Do you believe that that is the case?
No, from all the information that I have, it does not appear that the police officers on the scene avoided anything or disregarded cries for help from the kids that were inside of that room. What it comes down to, and what I think is probably more applicable, is the disagreement or the leadership finding out the proper tactic to use and them not being equipped and having the equipment to move forward to rescue those children at a sooner time.
You know, what's interesting about that is that in Texas, the actual director of public safety says that there's a doctrine in Texas right now where it doesn't matter who the lead agency is. When there is an active shooter situation, officers are to go in and not stop shooting until that suspect is down. So even though they didn't have the tactical equipment that you were mentioning, Brandon, that goes actually against their doctrine. Go ahead, Consciously. I want to get your take on that.
I would respectfully disagree with what Brandon is presenting, especially we know there's been confirmations that there were officers that went into the school that were able to rescue their own kids and didn't rescue the other kids. We also know that there is multiple confirmations and sources that show video of officers literally arguing, tasing and slamming literal parents on the ground trying to go in. That has been confirmed.
The idea of things being confirmed, just because they're on the news or the news may portray them a certain way, doesn't mean confirmation. I have information from people that were actually there. I saw the interview with the gentleman who rescued his children and assisted in rescuing other children. He didn't go there to only get his kids. He was a part of the rescue effort that all of the police departments, all the police officers were involved in.
We just confirmed before we got on, both of our, you and I are from Texas. So this little position you're trying to take in terms of authority and by saying that the way that I say confirmation is not the way you see confirmation, I think that is the actual conflict that we have in our today's media. When people of law enforcement start talking about facts, they believe that they are the arbiter of what we've seen and believe that, hey, you did not actually see what you didn't see. And I have an actual tactical team that went through training. They're going to tell you what you actually seen.
Let me just say this really quick. I think what is frustrating here, though, for many Black Americans is that we always hear these excuses. That's what it sounds like, excuses for why this didn't happen and why that did happen. And so there's a little bit of frustration that I think consciously is expressing that many Black Americans feel. Do you think that if these children were white, this would have been the same response?
When we learned in Sandy Hook, when all of America allowed for those little white kids to die, we don't care about kids like that. So to answer your question, no, I do not think it would change because I recognize that it is more money tied into gun lobbying and gun interest groups and those things. What we don't recognize in terms of the kids' values, it's less than.
What are your thoughts on the number of unarmed Black people that we've seen shot and killed by police? But then when you look at this, you know, you look at this situation, this young man was shot and killed. However, if you look at what happened in Lakeland with Nicholas Cruz, he was taken into custody. You look at Dylan Roof, he was taken into custody. You look at Peyton Grandin, taken into custody. All armed people. However, Black people that are unarmed continue to be gunned down by police, and I think there's a little bit of confusion on why that continues to happen when those people don't pose a direct deadly threat.
Well, so I think the confusion starts with the statement that you made. These people are, it's not all the same. It's not like Dylan Ruth had a gun and he was shooting at police officers and they just decided because he's a white man that they're going to let him slide. You know, the person who shot up the subway train in New York City was a Black man and he survived. Why? Because he did not present himself as a deadly threat when they were approaching him.
So was Philando Castile presenting himself as a deadly threat while he was in his car pulling out his license?
Well, Philando Castile and the active shooter are two separate situations. So if we have to look at response
by response.
And
that's the frustration. That's the frustration, Brandon, because it's okay to shoot somebody that is pulling out their license, but because they're not an active shooter, then we're going to handle someone differently. When you look at Dylan Roof, he just committed a massacre. That's no excuse just because one is labeled an active shooter. And
hey there, ever thought about what makes your heart beat a little faster?
Oh, you mean like when you discover a new track that just speaks to you?
Yeah, or finding a movie that you can't stop thinking about?
Well, get ready to feel that excitement all over again because Amazon Prime is here to take your entertainment and shopping experience to the next level.
Absolutely. Prime isn't just about getting your packages quicker. It's about diving into a world of endless possibilities, from the latest releases to exclusive content you won't find anywhere else.
And don't even get me started on the music. Prime offers concert specials that will transport you right to the front row. It's like being at the hottest gigs without leaving your living room.
I use Prime to tap in with some of my favorite artists' live shows from any and every genre of music.
Trust me, Prime is a game changer. It's like having a personalized superstore and entertainment hub right at your fingertips.
So why wait? Head over to Amazon.com/Prime and start experiencing entertainment like never before.
The other one is getting pulled over for having a broken taillight.
Well, I understand your frustration. I understand people's frustration. It's because of misinformation. These are two separate incidents.
I'm going to move forward now. So we know that on the anniversary of the death of George Floyd, Biden signed an executive order on police reform. Do you think that that would help in these type of situations?
Joe Biden's police reform executive order is a virtue signal. It's not going to do anything for Black people. It's not going to do anything for law enforcement. If you look at the bill, the president of the United States only have authority primarily at the federal level. He can't dictate what happens on the state level in state police and municipalities.
Consciously, I want to get you in here really quick before we wrap this up.
Hey, education is elevation. What does it mean for former law enforcement to say that the passing of an executive law would not have any effect?
It's not a law. Executive order is not a law.
Executive order, a policy. When the last time I checked, law enforcement was about enforcing, you feel me, social order that's passed down by executive orders, by policies, by laws, by legislation. We can disagree. We can disagree. We can have a debate.
Executive order and laws are very different.
Recognize those. What he's showing right here and illustrated is that when law enforcement, former law enforcement, think about, you feel me, the, Israel, turn it down, Israel, talk about the police, you know, the police fraternal order police, there is a network of individuals being able to inscribe their personal political policy beliefs onto facts and what is considered legitimate. And
it's not going to help us.
That's literally what's going down. You see what I'm
saying?
Well,
look, we could definitely continue. We could definitely continue this conversation for the next 10 minutes, but we do not have that kind of time. So I want to thank both of you all for joining in this spirited conversation. Brandon Tatum, Consciously, thank you so much for being here with us. And of course, our hearts go out to those families in Uvalde, Texas. We'll be right back.
Tom Bradley, the guy in Los Angeles, I consider him to be pitiful, not powerful.
Who is powerful?
Powerful is when you can deliver resources, services, and substances to your people and not compromise. The only Black people who can become mayors of these cities are people who compromise with the white power system and deliver the resources to other places other than our community.
Activist Sister Soulja calling out deliberate neglect of Black communities by those in power.
It's not a Black thing!
It's been a Black thing for the last 300 years!
An indictment in response to the LA riots 30 years ago that could have been ripped from the headlines today. As questions arise about intentional disenfranchisement that left the residents of East Buffalo, New York, vulnerable to attack, they should still be here.
That is the cry across social media, remembering the innocent victims gunned down inside a supermarket in Western New York.
We will not allow small people to create fear in our communities.
Saturday, Vice President Kamala Harris attended the final funeral service held to honor victims of the horrific mass shooting in Buffalo.
I need a village to help me raise and be here for my son because he has no father.
As the community tries to come to grips with the unimaginable, many ask if there can truly be a way forward without undoing the wrongs of the past. Today, Buffalo is one of America's most segregated cities. Minutes away from East Buffalo stands a thriving downtown funded by a $1 billion investment in the city from the state of New York.
What the reality is what's happening downtown is for all of us. So Harbor Center, for example, that's employing people from all over the city.
But those development dollars haven't gone as far as promised. A study by the University of Buffalo's Center for Urban Studies found that the city's black residents have not made progress over the past 30 years.
So it makes me feel like the folks that are in power have just been like, sure. Okay. This is overdue, and people are tired.
Alexander Wright runs the African Heritage Food Co-op, a group that for 7 years has fought to open a black-owned food market in East Buffalo, denied, he says, by a system that benefits from keeping black communities marginalized.
Not only in the state, but federally. Like, everybody knows who we are and what we do and how important it is, except where we're from. The solution's here.
It's already here.
What the community wants is here. We have a building. Only thing we don't have is the funding.
Now I think since COVID that we're starting to pay more attention to lack of access to healthy food, but it's been something that this community has always faced. If we're not talking about the deep systemic racism that's plagued the city of Buffalo for decades, we're completely missing the point. And I'm pleading with the President of the United States to pay attention to what's happening in the east side of Buffalo. Buffalo!
Woo! Despite heartbreak, organizers like Franchelle Parker remain committed because when those in power let the black community down, who can we turn to if not the culture?
And that's what the African Heritage Food Co-op is about. Our motto is anything less than ownership is unacceptable.
Intentional disenfranchisement is an issue that's been heavily debated in light of the tragic events in Buffalo, New York. Here to talk about it, we have India Walton, senior advisor for the New York Working Families Party, Jamil Crew, community organizer and CEO of Cruise Control Media, and Professor Lori L. Martin, fellow at the Center for Urban Studies at the University of Buffalo. Thank you all for joining us for this important and timely conversation. Professor Martin, a cycle of poverty and crime has plagued the East Buffalo community well before the horrific events of May 14. Can you give us some context on how policies of the past have created what we're seeing in Buffalo and communities like it across the country?
Yes, thank you very much for having me. Sadly, the segregation that we see in the city of Buffalo is not unique to the city of Buffalo, and it's not even a contemporary phenomenon. We can look at the legacy and the history of Black people in America, and we can see that they have had to deal with many different issues related to unequal treatment that have resulted from discriminatory public policies and private practices. practices. We could also cite this period that many people talk about as the greatest generation, where we saw a mass accumulation of wealth occur after the world wars, where white people had access to home ownership and wealth accumulation, but black people were largely kept out of that. And sadly, there are lots of examples of black people receiving unequal treatment in American society since that time.
You are taking us back decades, even to the early 1900s. India, you actually ran for mayor of Buffalo in 2021 as a Democratic socialist. What changes can those in power make in communities of color to undo those systemic wrongs that Professor Martin is mentioning right now?
Yeah, I think that our government has failed to care for the people in this community. This very Tops, where this happened, was one of the only grocery stores that services this neighborhood, and the food was of lesser quality. The food was more expensive, and we were told we should be grateful that anyone wants to do business in our community. When I ran for mayor, we had a very comprehensive platform that prioritized people, that prioritized community, that had some real solutions, that the only thing is needed is to put the resources behind it, right? We have a governor who gave $650 million to build a stadium for entertainment of well-to-do people when we can't even get public transit out to Orchard Park. So that's the same energy that we're putting into supporting the bills and keeping the bills here. We need to make sure that we're putting that same energy into Black folks in this community.
And Jamil, you are a community organizer, and you worked in the office of the current mayor of Buffalo, Mayor Byron Brown, for 7 years. What were some of the things members of the East Buffalo community asked for as far as resources and ways to prevent crime that have been delivered?
They just wanted access to the same quality of life that everyone else was afforded. During my time working for the city, I can say that, you know, some progress was made, but there were still large pockets of the community. They had very real concerns about, you know, about being left out of this progress and this redevelopment and this resurgence that we saw here happening in the city of Buffalo. We've been seeing Black leadership in the city of Buffalo for a number of years. And the conversations that I'm having with people is that they want to have this current administration feel like they're being taken care of the same way these previous administrations took care of their communities.
And Jamil, what can the community do to move forward?
There's a lot that government can do and should do just out of fairness. You know, we've been historically and systemically been left out for so long, right? So I think government does play a role, but I think we have enough intellectual capacity within our own community. I think we have intellectual resources in our community to really build our communities back up. But also too, again, we have to make sure we hold ourselves accountable in our own communities, making sure that we are taking care of our communities. And also too, making sure that we are putting the neighbor back in the neighborhoods.
Are you saying that the Black community in East Buffalo are not doing those things?
No, I'm certainly not suggesting that they're not. I'm just saying that more can be done. We've seen this time and time again, and again, it's not unique to just the city of Buffalo. You know, we see it happen in communities of color throughout the country, right? So, and I think more can always be done. So we always have to figure out. My mother used to always tell me, for every finger that you point at someone, you have three pointing back at yourself. We want to make sure that we are, you know, being accountable in our communities while working with government and other partners to make sure that we can build back our communities.
Professor Martin, if political leaders aren't advocating or investing in Black communities like East Buffalo, what can everyday people do to create their own solutions?
Yeah, I think everyday people can try to make a difference in their areas where they are with the resources that they have as individuals. After the killing of George Floyd, a lot of people said that they wanted to create a better society, and some of those folks have moved on. But if we can't move on, we don't move on. We're committed to this fight, and we have to do what is right, even when it's not easy.
India, Jamil, and Professor Martin, thank you for your time. Stick around. There's more Revolt Black News Weekly when we come back.
It never gets old to travel such distances and all of a sudden find yourself in another land. All the lead up and anticipation, and finally we're here, in Africa.
Welcome to Johannesburg, South Africa.
This is the return of the one that just can't be alone.
That is DJ EFN, one half of the dynamic Drink Champs duo, rocking the Rainbow Nation as his coming home series heads to South Africa. EFN takes viewers around the world through the lens of hip hop. The upcoming South Africa stop kicks off our global headlines as we explore being black all over the world.
First up, we head to Russia. The WNBA world speaks out as Brittney Griner's detention now passes the 100-day mark. The two-time Olympic gold medalist was arrested on February 17, facing a drug smuggling charge, which can carry a jail sentence of up to 10 years in Russia. The WNBA Players Union is calling on President Biden to use all available resources to free Brittney. Brittney Griner's wife has also recently spoken out.
I just keep hearing that he has the power. She's a political pawn, so if they're holding her because they want you to do something, then I want you to do it.
NBA star Kyrie Irving took to Twitter recently to urge the White House to prioritize Brittney's safe return immediately. Next, we head to Nigeria. Tragedy has struck the West African country as at least 31 people have been tragically killed during a stampede at a church charity event. It happened in southern Nigeria's Port Harcourt city. Witnesses say children are among those who died and several others were left injured. According to a police spokesperson, the charity event initially attracted hundreds of people waiting in line for food. At some point, the locked gate was broken, a crowd rushed in, which then created the deadly stampede. Community leaders say this tragedy shows an act of desperation that has been ignored, with 80 million people in Nigeria living in poverty, according to government data.
It's not fair. When you see people lying, people that you are standing with, in the next 5 minutes, they are dying, they cannot talk, they cannot even shake body. Man, it was very, very painful.
Let's head over to Jamaica, the home country of reggaeton and dancehall music, both authentic Jamaican sounds that deserve more respect, according to Grammy Award-winning recording artist Sean Paul.
It's not something that I hate. I just don't like that the public doesn't know that really it comes from us. And, you know, the whole advent of reggaeton, big up to everyone who does it and who loves it and supports it. It definitely is reminiscent of what we've been doing.
The Jamaican music community has shown growing concerns about the future of reggae music and dancehall, especially after this year's 64th annual Grammy Awards announced that Soja, a white reggae band from Virginia, won the reggae album category, causing outrage and backlash on social media. This added fuel to concerns about the genre. In 2020, Billboard ditched its reggae digital sales chart, which ranked the top downloaded reggae and dancehall songs in the U.S.
Afrobeat is taking that spot that we used to operate in. I think it does spell at least a bit of concern for our culture.
With Bob Marley considered one of the most iconic reggae artists of all time, for this young generation, artists like Coffee are left to carry the torch.
Adapt, but do not adjust yourself to the music. Adjust the music to you. When you adjust the music to your style, then it becomes you.
Next up, off to Kenya. The trending hashtag Justice for Sheila has sparked a bigger conversation about the fight for LGBTQ rights in the motherland. This time, bringing attention to the East African nation. In mid-April, Sheila Ariambo Lamamba, a 25-year-old non-binary lesbian, was found murdered in Karatine, Kenya.
They really did her bad. I just want justice for my sister. Like the public, you can stick with us and help us to get justice. We have buried her. She's now gone. We have to move on.
I don't know how people can be out there and be able to do such a thing.
Her case has raised concerns about how too many queer Kenyans are being murdered without any accountability and justice, according to LGBTQ groups. The Kenya Human Rights Commission has stepped in to investigate. But the larger issue remains. Under Kenyan law, gay sex is considered a crime punishable for up to 14 years in prison.
It's not an isolated case. We die every day like this and nothing is done about it. We are saying it has to end. We're saying something needs to happen.
Good news out of Ghana. A self-taught scientist and founder of InnovTech STEM Center is spreading the value of math, science, and technology through his native country. Jonathan Kennedy Sowa's imagination now helps offer lessons on web design, app development, 3D modeling, and printing, among many other skills.
I knew I could do so much better, and I was so restricted. So I dropped out and then started working in an internet cafe. I had access to 24/7 internet. So I got to see tutorials.
Jonathan Sowa travels to schools across Ghana to help transform the country's approach to STEM, sparking the imagination of the next generation. And stateside, the city of Minneapolis renames the intersection where George Floyd was murdered at the hands of police officers. 2 years later, there is now a commemorative street sign at the corner of 38th Street and Chicago Avenue, which is officially recognized as George Perry Floyd Square. Stick around. We'll be right back with more Revolt Black News Weekly.
Welcome back. I'm Kennedy Rue with all the headlines. Jumpstarting this week's entertainment remix, we begin with Snoop Dogg's surprising announcement for his fans.
Snoop Dogg derailed. The hip-hop multi-hyphenate announced the cancellation of his international tour dates due to start in August.
Snoop Dogg!
The reason for the cancellation is, quote, unforeseen scheduling conflicts, including family obligations and commitments to film and TV projects. Snoop posted on his Instagram that he's looking forward to rescheduling his dates.
The rapper XXXTentacion,
artist whose real name is Jose Onfroy,
has been shot.
He was a kid.
Reaction online is still blowing up over Look At Me XXXTentacion, a documentary about the late rapper who was shot in 2018. The nearly two-hour doc now streaming on Hulu gives an inside look at the rapper's gifted coming of age.
Nobody cared about Jose Onfroy until he took on the persona as XXX.
It also features some of the star's most popular songs and rare and personal stories from his inner circle, told through the eyes of the director.
I hope that young people who watch this film feel that their struggles and that their experiences are being seen and being valued. I think that like X, like many rappers in his generation.
Hey everyone, it's Justin Biggs here from the Biggs vs. Biggs podcast. If you're a fan of sports podcasts, then be sure to check out and subscribe to Biggs vs. Biggs, a show that covers upcoming fights, fight reviews, and interviews with some of boxing's brightest stars. And it's brought to you exclusively by Revolt Podcast Network, anchored in hip-hop, powered by creators.
And folks are crying out, saying, look at what we're going through. Look at our experiences. We feel depressed. We feel hopeless. And I don't know if we're listening.
It wasn't a secret, but it was private while we were just trying to get our cruising altitude and make sure the two of us had it figured out. And by the time we figured it out, baby, she put a ring on it.
Call them the dynamic duo. As we step into Pride Month, Niecy Nash and her wife Jessica Betts are a team ready to celebrate 2 years of marriage in August.
Now, I will tell you, now we drip. You know, the video she co-directed, and that was an amazing experience, but my wife is a boss, okay?
And that's one of the reasons we're at home with the pair to talk about their latest collaboration, the music video for We Drip. And the duo is also working together on the Fox competition show, Don't Forget the Lyrics.
We were able to collaborate for her video. We are working together on Don't Forget the Lyrics, which comes out on the 23rd of this month. I hosted, and Jessica's a part of the band, and then we have a new clothing line, which she has on right now, that's coming out in a couple weeks.
It's a wonderful feeling. We've been texting each other on our group text all morning, all kind of crazy emojis and gifts and everything.
And it's Broadway props for the Ladies of Four Colored Girls, which earned 7 Tony nominations. Some of the cast, including Dee Woods and Alexandria Wells, told me about the impact of this play.
Can you just talk to me about the response from the community that you're getting being involved in this project?
It's the importance of sharing stories from my personal experience, being a woman of color, Black, Brown, deaf women out there are often overlooked and underrepresented. dismissed and undervalued and underappreciated.
P. Diddy in charge.
We are here in Atlanta for Pierre P. Thomas, Quality Control CEO's Black Tie Birthday Bash, hosted by none other than Sean Diddy Combs. You know we have the exclusive. Everybody's rolling through. The one and only Coi Leray.
Yes, yes, yes.
Coi, why was it important that you came here tonight? And can you just talk to me a little bit about what P means to the culture and what he's done for music?
So I definitely wanted to make sure I am just a part of this. I mean, it's just a blessing to even get the invite. So much that they have done in the music industry.
We are at P's birthday bash, Black Tie birthday bash with Chubby Baby.
My brother P, we've been down since day one. Seeing this part two of this extravaganza is gonna be crazy tonight. Hope y'all get to see the show. Man, I wanna let you know, P, Diddy, I love y'all, y'all my brothers.
Lakia, tell me why it was important for you to come out tonight and what P means to the culture in the city of Atlanta as a whole.
Well, I'm gonna start by saying P means to me, like he the boss, you know, as far as in the industry, so he means a lot to me.
What's good, it's your boy Ed Dolo, man. Shout out to QCP.
Well, my name is Al Nuke. I'm one of Atlanta's premier film directors, and I had to come and show my brother P love. It's been nothing but respect.
Talk to me a little bit about what P means to the city of Atlanta and even music as a whole.
I mean, just really just seeing his grind, a real from hustler to hustler, you got to appreciate it. You got to salute it. P not only mean a lot to Atlanta, but he mean a lot to the South.
I think what makes P P is that no matter how big he is, he's still reachable.
Talk to me a little bit about what P means to the city of Atlanta and the culture in general.
Well, I think tonight is all about what Atlanta means to America. And P and Quality Control and Coach K have been so essential to keeping Atlanta at the center of Black culture in America and the world.
We're here with the man of the hour who this celebration is in honor of. P, we got to talk to so many of your artists, people here to support you. Said that you did so much for the culture. How does it feel to hear that?
It feels good, you know. It feels good when people want to, you know, acknowledge your accomplishments and everything you done. And I'm just here to have a good time. I'm blessed to see another year. And I'm just thankful just to be in that position.
Our hearts go out to Master P and his family as they're mourning the loss of their 29-year-old daughter, Tatiana. While the cause of her death has not been made public, the rapper, record executive, and entrepreneur shared that Tatiana has had struggles with mental illness and substance abuse, something that was addressed on Growing Up Hip Hop.
We're going to fix this. If you need to get help, we're here for you.
In a post on Instagram, her brother Romeo also added this touching tribute, requesting privacy and adding love on your loved ones. Life is short.
Now we turn to our Stand Up For series and the amazing nonprofit dedicated to empower young Black women at a pivotal time in their lives. The program is making a difference and it's part of the Girl Wonder Leadership Academy.
Hi, my name is Tola. I'm from the Bronx, New York, and I'm the founder of Girl Wonder, Inc. Girl Wonder is a nonprofit that we started in 2015, helping young girls of color that are interested in, you know, media and entertainment. There was a need to help young girls that were interested in the creative fields because we kept pushing STEM on them. And not everybody is a STEM kid. You know, what happened to the, you know, the girl that wants to do marketing or the creative kid that wants to write or the fashion girl? So we saw a need for that. And we just wanted to put together an organization that helped young girls, you know, ushered them into these creative atmospheres. Girl Wonder fits in at a very pivotal point in a young woman's career and life, right? And in her collegiate years, you're going through, you know, all of this emotional whatever with your friends. Everybody's going through growing pains. But Girl Wonder, we really put together some tips and tricks on how to maneuver and how to get through it while figuring out what it is that you want to do in real life. One of the biggest issues that young women are facing and like the challenges that they're facing is self-confidence. when looking at Girl Wonder, I want people to take away that we're in an organization for young women of color. I just want to see dope girls do dope things. And I just want to help usher in girls like me from their inner city who want to be creative, to tap into their creative space. Girl Wonder is an organization that opens up doors for girls to explore the creative side and know that they can make a lucrative career and a happy life in the creative field.
We love her passion and are happy to see the impact Tola is making on the next generation of young Black women creatives. Stay with us when we come back, our Revolutionary of the Week.
Welcome back. Before we go, we are shining the spotlight on the Black team of climbers who are now in the history books.
Their feat to reach new heights is an inspiration to future climbers.
And that's why the men and phenomenal women in this group are Revolutionaries of the Week. A victory that ascended into history.
So earlier this week, the team went up higher through this ice fall that you see right here, the Khumbu Ice Fall. We went above there to some higher camps to get used to higher elevations, breathing with a little less oxygen.
A few days ago, we flew into Lukla and we started hiking in the Khumbu Valley. It's the valley below Mount Everest. There's no roads.
Full Circle Everest, the first all-Black expedition to make it to the top of Mount Everest, the highest mountain in the world above sea level.
And once you get to the summit, it's like getting back down safely, and that, like, your focus has to be there. And if it's not, I think it, you know, increases kind of the danger and other things around you.
A journey that took months of trekking and training to fight to the finish.
Personally, for me, it was such a huge accomplishment and such a huge effort. It felt really cathartic. You know, I certainly shed tears at the summit, and I think it was for all of the effort and all of, you know, my entire path through life to take me to that moment.
Seven members along with Sherpa guides helped make it all happen despite the obstacles that came along the way.
You know, I served in Iraq for 12 months in combat. And so you learn to work in a tight-knit group. You learn to negotiate terrain features and plan the logistics of things and your movement to account for all of your gear and make sure that it's working, because you may need it to save your life or save someone else's life.
A feat for the history books and for the next generation.
And I hope that, you know, we do make the splash in history and influence more people of color to get outside, to get an outdoor education, and to explore the world. Have fun.
Talk about making it to the top. Well done.
That does it for us.
And we'll see you all next time. Have a good one.
Hey there, ever thought about what makes your heart beat a little faster?
Oh, you mean like when you discover a new track that just speaks to you?
Yeah, or finding a movie that you can't stop thinking about?
Well, get ready to feel that excitement all over again, because Amazon Prime is here to take your entertainment and shopping experience to the next level.
Absolutely. Prime isn't just about getting your packages quicker. It's about diving into a world of endless possibilities. From the latest releases to exclusive content you won't find anywhere else.
And don't even get me started on the music. Prime offers concert specials that will transport you right to the front row. It's like being at the hottest gigs without leaving your living room.
I use Prime to tap in with some of my favorite artists' live shows from any and every genre of music.
Trust me, Prime is a game changer. It's like having a personalized superstore and entertainment hub right at your fingertips.
So why wait? Head over to Amazon.com/Prime and start experiencing entertainment like never before.